Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Well, we've been studying moral intelligence. Boy, we could sure use that, can't we? In fact, we've discussed how moral intelligence affects so many areas of life, including politics. And marriage and relationships. Well, we've just covered a whole bunch. And last time we were together, we talked about how moral intelligence affects money, how it affects financial intelligence. So we covered 6 points at that time, and today we're going to pick up with number 7, but I thought I probably ought to do a really quick review of the first 6. So here we go. And number 1, we learned that profits without moral intelligence are not really profitable. We proved that point thoroughly. And then we learned that materialism, which is seeking inner fulfillment from outward possessions, that's what materialism is, lacks both moral and financial intelligence. And we learned that materialism obscures that which is eternal. It gets us so earthly bound that we forget life after this life. And then we learned that moral intelligence and financial intelligence begin with tithing. And we talked about why it's a moral issue, because to not tithe is to steal from God, right? So it's a moral issue. And then we learned that contentment, which comes from moral intelligence, conquers this thing called covetousness, which the scripture says is not, we want stuff. And contentment conquers that, and contentment comes from moral intelligence. And then we learned that moral intelligence requires honesty in business. So those are the first few things we learned. Today, we're going to move on and get more detail, as you shall see. So here's number 7. Hope you'll get this down in your notes. And it is the fact that moral and financial intelligence is being debt-free. Look at this instruction. Owe no man anything except you owe him love. And he that loveth somebody else has fulfilled all the rules, all the regulations. Owe nothing but love. A translation says, keep out of debt altogether, except the personal debt of love which we owe to one another. Remember, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So we're to do that. So look here what the scripture goes on to say. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but look at this, but the foolish man spends it up. It's gone. It begins with being debt-free. Look at this. God says, thou shalt lend, but thou shalt not borrow. Boy, that's a really smart, intelligent application to financial intelligence. The rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. Can you see the benefit right there buried in this one short text? The benefit of being out of debt, not owing anybody anything, because then they're in charge. A translation says, the poor, right, are always ruled over by the rich. So don't borrow and put yourself under their power. It's not smart to have debt. A little later on, I'm going to show you some resources you can have to show you how to get out of debt and stay out of debt the rest of your life. Now, moral intelligence is getting out of debt, but it also requires, and I know this is going to seem not very philosophical. But it means you have to know mathematics. It requires math. Look at scripture. Which of you intending to build a tower, a skyscraper, maybe not that high, maybe just your house. Now watch this. Which of you does not sit down, not down first and count? That's mathematics, counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it or not. So watch this now, because the scripture is telling us if you're going to do something, you got a project on the go, the first thing you should sit down, you do is sit down, sit down. And secondly, count the costs, do the math. See whether you're going to have enough to finish it or not. And why would you do that? Because after you've laid the foundation and you're not able to finish it, and everybody looks at it will mock you, make fun of you, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. You got to do the math before you start any project. And don't go forward on guesses. Don't go forward on I hope so's. Get the facts. Do the math. Because moral and financial intelligence require doing the mathematics. Now, it also requires that we keep records, accounting, if you please. Ready? Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Of course, this is in an agricultural context. Be diligent to know how much money you got in the bank. And look well to your assets. Watch it now. For riches are not forever. And then it says, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Do you really think somebody's going to pass on their money to you? There has to be a keeping account of records. You, of all the advice I give people so frequently, pre-marriage is, do you know accounting? Everybody should take basic bookkeeping to know when to debit, when to credit, how to balance the checkbook, how to balance your accounts. How can you make wise decisions if you have no records that you go by? So both moral and financial intelligence require record keeping. Let's look at a translation. Riches can disappear fast. Well, I don't know where you're sitting while or standing while you're watching this or not, but you probably should say, yeah, amen, that's what really happens, right? Riches can disappear fast. And the king's crown doesn't stay in the family forever. So watch your business interests closely. Know the state of your flocks and your herds. Make sure you've got some accounting procedure in place. Okay, number 10. And this is probably hardest thing to grasp for most people. But moral and financial intelligence requires generosity. Generosity. Watch it. There is that scatters. Watch this. But tends to increase. Now, this seems contradictory that you would give something away, but it's going to cause an increase in you. But that's what God says. And watch this. And there is that and those who withhold more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. They think if they can be skimpy that they're going to be rich because of it. In fact, God comes along to say, no, it is a generous soul that shall be made fat. In fact, look at this now. The liberal soul, the generous soul, shall be made fat. And he that watereth somebody else shall be watered also himself. In other words, this is really this old rule of reciprocity. What you give, you get back. And you get more back than you give. It's amazing. And selfish people don't, that they think that they can just hold on, but that holding on causes their poverty. So let's go back to this verse again. There is that which maketh itself rich, but has nothing. There is that which maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Yeah. How can you get rich by giving it away? It's the law of reciprocity. Give and it shall be given unto you. We'll come to that in a moment. Watch it. In fact, here it is already. Give and it shall be given unto you. Oh my goodness. This is amazing. This is contrary to the selfish person's outlook on life and on money. It lacks moral intelligence because, in fact, look at what it says. Here it is. Give, and it's going to come back to you. How much is going to come back? Look at the scripture. Given shall be given unto you. Look at this now. Good measure. You're really going to get a bunch. Watch this now. And it's going to be compressed down. It doesn't have to come from a whole lot of people. And it's going to be shaken together. You're going to have it coming from many different directions. And it's going to be running over. And watch it. Shall men give to you? God is going to put it on their hearts to give it to you because they saw you give it somebody else. It's going to come back. It's a law of reciprocity that is just as real as the law of gravity. Now watch this. And men shall give to your bosom. And they're going to do it proportionally. With the same measure that you gave out, it shall be measured back to you again. Oh my goodness. So God wants us to prove this law of reciprocity. Moral intelligence is not being a cheapskate. It's not being selfish. It's considering other people. It is loving. It is helping others meet needs that they can't meet by themselves. And God says, if you do this, it's going to come back to you. Because if you scatter, it's going to cause an increase. But if you withhold it, you're going to be in poverty. Can you see with me how the ways of God are so diametrically opposed to man's way of thinking? Now, I want you to catch only two more points. And this one is the idea that moral intelligence that causes financial intelligence is not an option. That in fact, if you run your finances without moral intelligence, it's devastating. Look at this. Go now, you rich men. Weep. Howl. For your miseries that shall come upon you. In a moment, I'm going to give you a little summary of the two different ways to riches, man's way versus God's way. But here we're talking about God's way. But if you go man's way, look at what God says. Look at, go, you rich men, weep and howl. Because your miseries are going to come upon you. Look at this now. Because your riches were misused. They were corrupted. And the stuff you bought, the garments, are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered. It's not, it's causing you more problems instead of solutions. And the rust of them shall be witness against you and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped together treasures, you think, for your retirement, for the last days. And now I want you to catch this. That the moral intelligence of God, which is in contrast to natural thinking, humanistic thinking, the moral intelligence of God produces great profits. Look at this. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, I'm going to tell you some more details this shortly, but I want you to catch this. There are 1,000 ways to poverty and only 2 ways to riches. The 2 ways to riches are man's way and God's way. You can get rich man's way. That is, accumulate a lot of wealth. It's possible. But if you do it God's way, it's different. What is the difference between God's way and man's way to riches? And it's found in this scripture. Take a look at it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Now watch this. Here's the difference. He adds no sorrows with it. Oh my goodness. You can get rich man's ways, but with it is all kinds of sorrows. I know a lot of those stories. I've read about them. Broken marriages, bitter children, and sometimes bankruptcy, and sometimes jail terms. Asked Bernie Madoff about that. Got rich man's way. But see, when you get rich God's way, the difference is that there's no sorrows with it. It's the proper way forward. Now let's go back to the scripture. The blessing of the Lord. Don't ever doubt this. It makes rich. God is not interested in you being poor. Well, let me talk about that a bit more. You know, if you go to many of the countries of the world, and I've been to a few myself, wherever there's a country where the gospel has been preached, where Christianity has taken root, the poverty level goes down. Amazing. The value of human life goes up. Why is that? Because God and this gospel of Jesus is designed for recovery. That's why we call him Redeemer. That's why we call him Savior. He's nothing broke he can't fix. And he does not intend to financially break you. He intends to financially bless you. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Look at this again. Makes rich. It's so rich, and it's rich, and he adds, there's no sorrows that go with it. It's the real deal. Look at this insight. Lord, you crown the year with thy goodness. And thy paths, if you walk in his paths, look at that, they drop fatness. In fact, they drip with abundance. They drip with abundance. This is staggering. Wonderfully so. Because moral intelligence of God produces great profits. Now, I'm trying to find a hitching post, so let's go to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. And here's what it says. Now let's look at it piece by piece. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure. The heaven will give rain, and the to the hand and the season. The Lord shall not only open his good treasure unto you, but he shall bless all the work of your hands. Wait till we get into the principles, the biblical principles of employment. And man, it's amazing. And look at the result. Thou shalt lend unto many, and thou shalt not borrow. You won't ever have to borrow money going God's way. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Can you imagine that? The Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. And thou shalt always be above only and not beneath. Whoa. Never forget the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. You will always be above only and thou shalt not be beneath. Now here's the condition. If you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe them, which is not enough, but it's necessary, but to do them. And if you do that, the blessing of the Lord will be yours. I want to conclude with a little illustration, and I'm going to give you a whole lot of detail another time. But I want to show you the difference between God's way to riches and man's way to riches. So I want you to see this diagram. And what we're going to do here is we're going to show how each of these differs from the other. So watch this now. God's way begins with loving him. Man's way begins with loving money. This is what separates the two at the most fundamental level, right? So then if you love God, you will learn to please God. If you love money, you will learn to please yourself. These are contrasting events. You can't go both ways at the same time, okay? And if you learn to please, if you love God, you please God, then you will be a love-based person as opposed to over here being a selfish-based person, right? And then because you're a love-based person, you will have and demonstrate many virtues, about 8 of them in number. But over here, if on the contrasting side, if we love money, and we live to please ourselves, and we become selfish instead of love-based, we'll end up with all kinds of corruption as opposed to virtue. Do you see them diametrically? And not just diametric, but diabolically opposed to one another. And now, virtue always leads to intelligence. On contrast, with the love of money ends up making irrational decisions because it's driven by selfishness and not love. God's way produces virtue and thus intelligence. And that intelligence requires some absolutes. They are rules and regulations that God has set, right? In contrast with this, these people believe in relativity. That is, things can go be adjustable, flexible. There are no absolutes. There are no exact measurements. Okay. Now watch this, because this process of loving God, pleasing God, the love base that leads to virtue and intelligent choices, and the establishment of absolutes in your life is expressed in a set of principles by which you now live your life. In contrast with a person who lives for money becomes unprincipled because he's driven by a whole different set of dynamics. And the principled person on God's side will end up with prosperity in contrast with people over here in debt. And then finally, the prosperity gives way to solvency. And over here, man's ways, the love of money, ends up with, in many, many cases, bankruptcy. It's my hope. It's my genuine hope for you that you will let moral intelligence guide every part of your life. And right now, we speak primarily of your finances. I don't know how exactly to more clearly define the difference. Except let me suggest to you that you go to our website and look up this video. Just type in the search money. The website is nothingbutthetruth.org. And you can see this video here. There's two parts to it. And you will see in detail what I have just expressed to you, how the difference is between God's way to riches versus man's way to riches. And let me now take you to an announcement that I hope you'll find encouraging. Watch for the release of this. This is one of my books called 1,000 Ways to Poverty and Only 2 Ways to Riches. It will be coming out both in book form and in audio form, and I certainly wouldn't want you to miss all the details in it. There are 30 chapters in that book. You're going to learn about God and money. You're going to learn about the purposes of money. Where can riches be found? Why do the wicked prosper? That's a really important part of it. How character affects riches. How to get and receive money properly. How to become accountable to an accounting system, how to live within the, how living within your means increases your means. That's an important thing. How to have a mind to work, how to develop convictions, how a son can own a home debt-free before he marries, a strategy you want to know for your sons. Then how to leave an inheritance. And all of this, I hope that you will watch for this book called 2 Ways to Riches. What's really important is you, your money. And I can only give you my best advice. And that is to let moral intelligence rule your financial intelligence. Because if you do, this will not be true of you. Lo, this man made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness, in his lack of moral intelligence. Don't let that be you. Let moral intelligence rule your financial intelligence. God wants you to prosper the right way.